Grace, mercy, and peace to you. As we continue on the seventh leg of our Lenten journey on the road from dust to glory on this Maundy Thursday, on which our Savior instituted the very first Lord's Supper. Our text is from Jesus' words in Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. A businessman decided to throw a big party for some of his clients. So he spared no expense. He hired the most expensive caterer in all of San Francisco and then rented out the Moscone Center. He paid an army of uniformed wait staff to serve his guests from gleaming silver trays. He commissioned a huge ice sculpture of a swan and had it floating in a lake of punch. Engraved invitations were sent out in advance, hand-delivered by special messengers in plenty of time for everyone to clear their calendars for the event. But somehow, when the hour finally came for the party to begin, no one, not one guest, bothered to come. After waiting an hour, the host asked his assistant to get the guest list and to begin making phone calls. The first person that his assistant called was very apologetic. She said that she had fully intended to come, but just before the party, her realtor had called her to say that the offer she placed on a piece of property had been accepted, but they needed to close the deal and to do it immediately. And so the woman decided that it was only prudent to take one last look at that property before signing the papers, and she sincerely hoped that the host would understand. The second person also was deeply apologetic and a little embarrassed. "You know, I really meant to be there," he explained, "but yesterday the Tesla dealer called to tell me that my new all-electric Newsom-approved vehicle had finally arrived. You wouldn't believe how long the waiting list was for this car. After a delay of 6 months, I just had to take it for a test drive, and I was having so much fun showing it off that the party, well, it completely slipped my mind. I'm so sorry." The next person didn't even bother to apologize. In fact, he was quite abrupt on the phone, saying that he and his wife had just come back from their honeymoon and didn't want to be bothered. Turns out that they had just had their first fight and were on the verge of making up and preferred to be alone. He went, you know, it all went on and on like this until the assistant had called each name on the guest list. Everyone, it seemed, had some kind of excuse. The host was understandably angry. But what was he supposed to do? The convention center was booked with a non-refundable deposit. The food was already prepared. The ice swan was starting to melt. Suddenly, he got this flash of inspiration and remembered that on his way to the Moscone Center, he had passed a group of homeless people. So he told his assistant, "Go out there and tell them that there's a free meal for them in here." Didn't take long for the word to spread on the street, and soon there was quite a crowd filing sheepishly through the entrance doors. But even with all these newcomers, there was still plenty of food, and most of it was in danger of going to waste. So again, what should I do? Looking at one of the street people enjoying all the beautiful hors d'oeuvres, another flash of inspiration came to the businessman. "Call the homeless shelters," he told his assistant. "Tell them to bring all their people down here for dinner as well." Now, in the meantime, the guest who purchased the new car happened to be driving past the Moscone Center. Feeling guilty, he decided to show up at the last minute, because he'd been out driving all around all day in his Newsom-approved all-electric car, except for that three-hour charging time interlude. He didn't have time to change into his Armani tuxedo, but he thought, better late than never. When he first saw the raggedy-looking crowd seated at the tables, he thought he'd mistakenly come to a Salvation Army fundraiser. But then he saw the host standing in the corner and went over to make his amends. But instead of being happy to see him, the host called for security and immediately had the guests ejected from the party. The host said, "Not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." You know, there's an old saying, You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. In Jesus' parable of the great banquet, he makes kind of a similar point. Just because the meal is prepared, that's still no guarantee that the guests will want to partake of it. Those who could have been enjoying the meal lack the same characteristic described by Jesus in his beatitude from Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You see, to those who come seeking God's blessing, there's a prerequisite for it. We first need to be made aware of our deep spiritual emptiness before we come to his table. In other words, before we can be filled with the blessing of righteousness, Jesus says we first need to be hungry for it. Back then, in a world where starvation was a daily occurrence and the next meal was far from certain, hunger must have seemed like an unlikely path to blessing. But Jesus says that where God's kingdom and his righteousness is concerned, it's better to come empty than full. Because Jesus knows that without this hunger, we'd have little interest in being filled with righteousness anyway. You know, we tend to think by nature that righteousness is the condition that we first must be in so that we can be blessed. But Jesus turns the blessing upside down. He doesn't say righteousness is the precondition for blessing, but that righteousness is the blessing, and our hunger for it is the precondition. However, if you do truly hunger and thirst for righteousness, God promises to provide it for you, but only through his Son. But then, if you don't hunger and thirst for righteousness to begin with, again, you wouldn't be interested anyway. Even if Jesus were to send you an engraved invitation, which he has. So, God, in his goodness, paves the way for our blessing by sending us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness that we otherwise, in our self-righteous minds, never even think we need, like the original guests in this parable of the banquet. Our problem is that we live in a state of self-denial about our lack of true righteousness and extreme need for spiritual sustenance. You know, the Greek literally reads, "Blessed are those who are famished and parched." There are a lot of things we can live without if we have to, but food and water are absolute necessities. Is the righteousness that only God can give an absolute necessity for you? Is it something that you desire every day? In Psalm 42, 1-2, David declares, As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for the living God. Speaking then through the prophet, in Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2, the Lord says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy?" It's here that we see the problem. While we need the drink that comes without cost and the bread that God offers, we don't always desire it because our tastes have become captivated by other things in this world that have no spiritual nutritional value. It's kind of like your kids or grandkids at McDonald's who want that Happy Meal only for the toy. Or like myself as a child who absolutely hated Cracker Jack, but still would convince my parents to buy me a box anyway, just for a pitiful trinket inside worth nothing. But to echo the words of the prophet's complaint, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? When we were young and caught sneaking a cookie from the cookie jar or a piece of candy before dinner, our mothers would say, "You can't eat that. You'll spoil your appetite." But a curious phrase. It implies that an appetite is a good thing, not to be spoiled. It suggests that the desire to be filled is itself desirable. Well, Jesus implies the same in this beatitude. God sometimes has to help us get over our taste for bread that is not true bread and that fails to satisfy. And the tool that he uses is hunger. Deuteronomy 8, verses 2-3 says, and I quote, Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments? He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And so there's a kind of spiritual hunger that no earthly bread can satisfy. And that's meant to pave the way for a blessing if we first look to God alone in order to fill our emptiness with his righteousness in Christ Jesus, knowing that all who come to his table will be filled. But the irony is that those who are filled will continually hunger and thirst for more righteousness. I suspect until now, we've been thinking of righteousness as a standard by nature that we can reach, like a little boy who marks his growth inch by inch by marks on the kitchen door frame, comparing it to his father's height. The truth is, our Heavenly Father has an infinite capacity for righteousness. There is no limit. That means then, as far as our experience is concerned, this side of heaven, like Jell-O, there's always room for more, especially at the Lord's table. More and more of God's righteousness each time we celebrate it, as the cycle of always hungering and always being filled continues until Christ returns. We realize we weren't on that original A-list of guests, and yet, as spiritually famished and parched beggars, we now eagerly accept the Savior's invitation to do this often, as we gratefully partake of his blessed meal, but especially on this Maundy Thursday, the night in which Christ himself has created a hunger and thirst for this bread and wine for his followers that can only be filled and quenched by his own true body and blood, leaving us at the same time with a righteousness that is not our own, and yet that becomes our own through this holy sacrament. So, come and be filled. The invitations have been extended. His table is ready. And now God's very special guests have arrived, each one of them trusting in our Savior's promise that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for God's righteousness, for they are the ones who will be filled. In our Savior's precious name and promise, Amen.